to see everybody out this morning. Thank you for coming to Tabernacle Auditorium class, and we appreciate you. We love our church. We love our Sunday school class. Thank you for being here. A lot of people to pray for here in just a few minutes. Thank God for our church. Thank you for our pastor. Pray for him as he'll be preaching the 11 o'clock worship. We welcome the missionaries that's here this morning. Thank you for being here. And just a lot to praise God for this morning. Pray for our pastor. Pray for all the Sunday school teachers that God will intervene and the Holy Spirit will be powerful. All right, take your bulletins. We're just going to cover a few announcements, not all of them, but this week's prayer chain captains are Gene and Wade Eldreth. Of course, you can call any of the captains, but if you have a prayer need, please don't hesitate to call. We can get you about 30, 35 people praying for you in just a short amount of time, so we thank God for it. The outreach on Saturday, April 27th, don't forget that. Now, a week from today, we are having the Spring Revival and Friend Day on the same day. So don't forget that. Pastor's got a couple of powerful preachers coming that he knows. Matt Franklin and Steve Cox will be with us Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So pray for this meeting. Be a week from today. Tri-City Baptist Camp Meeting, don't forget it, July 8th through the 12th. Down at the bottom, a young serviceman, don't forget that. Miss Regina Moneyhun's nephew is in the service, and we thank God for all the servicemen that are fighting for our country and in the military. So don't forget, if you have time, to send him a card. Okay, we're going to have a few prayer requests this morning before we get to the lesson. Does anybody have a prayer need that we need to know about? Yeah, Brother James. Okay, we sure will. Remember James's son and grandson, and they're both in California, right?
Grandson's in South.
Okay, got gotcha. You.
He's got severe.
Okay. Okay, sure will. All right. We sure will. Pray for Sandy. Sandy went over this past week to Abingdon, Virginia, and spent almost a week with her aunt. Her aunt's 75, and she fell and broke her arm and crushed her pelvic bone. Well, she's got a cast on her arm, but that pelvic bone that's crushed, there's nothing you can do for it. It has to heal on its own. So it's going to take a few months to get her back. And Sandy didn't feel like going, but she wanted to help her aunt, and Sandy's physically wore out with the things that she tried to do for her. So pray for Sandy. Pray for our two daughters. We love them. We just want them to come back to the Lord. Candy and Charity, pray for them. Wilma Gardner, I found out that she's still in rehab. I'm not sure when she'll be coming home, but pray for Miss Wilma. I believe she's one of our charter members here. She's been here since it started, so pray for her. Robert and Phyllis, they're not here now. They could come in any time, but pray for them and Charles and Patsy. That whole family has been through bereavement with Patsy and Charles's son going to heaven. Please pray for that family, that God's grace will be sufficient. Phyllis always wants us to pray for David and Tina Trout, that they'll get back in church. Pray for Tina. She's going to have a lot of tests done. Pray for her. I talked to Ron Moss on the phone this past Thursday. They're still trying to get all the infection out of his body. And we just need to pray for him, that he'll be able to come home soon. Thank you, Brother Buck. He's in Houston Valley. And Joan and Carl, we need to pray for them. They've got pneumonia, and they can't go see him because of their sickness. So please pray for Joan and Carl. I talked to Joan, too. And just pray for them and pray for Ron, that he'll be able to get better and God will touch his body. Don't forget to pray for Joe Robinette. He's doing good. Hubert and Margie, Ray and Sally, they'd love to be here in Sunday school. Pray for Brandon and Grace Sexton. As you know, his dad passed away a few days ago. Pray for that family, that God's grace will be sufficient. And pray for Buck's granddaughter, that the Lord will bring her back to the fold. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request this morning? We thank God for prayer and thank him for answered prayer. So we thank God for that. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we love you and thank you for what you mean to us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here at Tabernacle once again, Father, on Sunday morning. And we praise you for our Sunday school classes. Thank you for the worship hour. And we do pray for our pastor today that you empower him with thy word and pray that you've given him the message that we need to hear. Thank you for all the Sunday school teachers. Please, Lord, give us boldness and courage to teach your word. And thank you, Father, for another opportunity. Thank you for your word and how it's changed lives. We thank you for salvation. Father, we pray for all these folks that we've lifted up to you this morning. Father, we think of Sandy. She'd love to be here. Pray for Candy and Charity and Buck's granddaughter, Kayla, that you'll bring them back to the fold. Be with Aunt Carol. Please, Lord, touch her body and be with her and she recovers. Be with Miss Wilma, Father. She's in rehab. Please, Lord, touch her body that she'll be able to come home soon. Be with Ron in the hospital, Lord. I pray that you'll touch his body, Lord, and I pray that you'll be with the doctors and nurses and they'll be able to get this infection out of his body and be with Joan and Carl and touch them. Thank you for Robert and Phyllis. We pray for them, for Patsy and Charles, Lord. I pray that you'll give that whole family grace as they've been through bereavement. Thank you for Ray and Sally, Hubert and Margie, Joe Robinette. Pray for him. And Father, we think of Brandon and Grace, what they've been through here in the last week or so. Please, Lord, touch them and pray, Lord, that your grace would be sufficient. Be with James Foster's son, Lord, there in California, the grandson, Lord, into South Dakota, Lord. Just touch them in a special way. And we thank you, Father, for the power of prayer. Now go with us during the Sunday school hour. We pray that if anyone is lost in our Sunday school classes or in the worship hour, Lord, that today will be the day of salvation for them. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about something I believe will be a blessing to all of us. And that is humility. You know, Christ demands humility in our life. I looked up a Bible definition of humility. It says, meek or modest, low in rank or status, to make lower or lesser lowliness of mind, and never proud. You know, I think as God's people, we all need humility in our hearts to live a Christian life. It's an important Christian characteristic that God's people need so God can use us in a mighty way. He never can use proud people. We don't want to have a proudful heart. We don't want to have proud in our lifestyle. God don't like it. Humility is definitely, it's a mental attitude of lowliness. We want to show love and compassion toward other people as we live that Christian life on our journey. And, you know, it's a specific grace developed in a Christian's heart by the Spirit of God. And the working of the Holy Spirit, that marvelous grace, is developed in our life, and that humility can be a great Christian characteristic in our life. And you know, if we have humility in our life, other people's going to see it. Other people's going to take notice that, hey, that person's different. There's something different about him or her. And you see, humbling ourselves is the first step, believe it or not, to revival. It's the first step to living a life pleasing to the Lord. And I have met some people in past years that their life were so full of boastful and proudness and bragging. And, you know, God can't use us if we're like that. We have to have a heart full of humility. We all know that Jesus Christ was the supreme example of humility. You look at his ministry throughout the Bible. What compassion, what humility he showed toward other people. Even though he was strong to stand for what was right, he had humility for other people. And we can go through the Word of God if we had time and read each story that reminded us of Christ's humility. You remember the compassion that he showed when he washed the disciples' feet? That was definitely humility. What about teaching the crowds in the synagogues? He showed his meekness, his lowly attitude. He cared about others. Almighty God is against any proud or boastful heart or boastful spirit. And you remember in the book of Daniel, chapter 4? The king of Babylon gave himself all the credit for his abilities, what he was accomplishing, and left God out of his life. We don't want to do that as God's people. We want to have humility in our heart. We want to have meekness in our heart. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit it talks about in Galatians, having meekness in our life and showing humility. I want us to go to a couple of scripture verses here. First one is found in James chapter 4. Just a few verses for time's sake. We're going to read verses 5 through 8 in James chapter 4. It says, "Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And I want to go over to Matthew chapter 23. I love these verses. Matthew 23. This is Jesus talking. I want to go to verse number 8 and read verse through verse number 12. Matthew 23, 8 through 12. It says, "But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." And then verse number 12, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." I want to give you four truths this morning while the child of God needs humility in our life. And I want to give you these four truths and why they should be in our life. Look at number one. I believe number one is God demands it because he hates pride. You know, God demands us to have humility in our heart and our life. To have a prideful heart will definitely hurt our Christian testimony. We don't never want to live a life full of proud and pride. God can't use us in a way that he should. It always tramples on other folks around us. They're going to notice it. If our life is full of bragging rights and being proud, other people's going to notice it, and a lot of people don't even want to be around you. I think we should give God all the glory and all the praise no matter what we accomplish, no matter what we do in life. We don't want to take away the honor and the praise that's definitely due him. Always remember, a proud heart who always brags on self and his own accomplishments ignores the sovereignty of God and the praise that is due to him. Have you ever thought about it that way? If we don't have humility in our life, God's not going to be able to use us to his glory. Satan is the best example of pride. If we had the time, we could go throughout the Bible and look at the different scriptures that Satan was so full of pride. Satan thinks only of himself and always seeks to destroy and deceive each and every one of us. And he's out to destroy the Christian. He don't spend a lot of time trying to destroy lost people. He's already got them. But what about us Christians? Satan is powerful. We can't fight him on our own. We always need to give God the honor and the praise for anything that we accomplish in life. And if we live that kind of life and have that kind of sweet attitude, we'll catch ourselves talking to the Lord during the day. We don't have to be at church to talk to him. We can talk to him driving down the road, talk to him wherever we might be. So we need to show humility. Humility is something that God requests out of our life, and he'll use us in a mighty way. I wanted to go to Proverbs. There's a couple of verses here that, talks about this, and I want to read those to you. I've had one of these marked, I don't know how many years, but it'll be a help to us. Proverbs 8:13. Proverbs 8:13. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate." And then over in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, I love these verses. Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19. It says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." The scripture makes it pretty plain. God loves humility. He loves to see his people with humility and meekness in their life, because we take our eyes off of self a lot of times, and we need to. We need to be concerned about other people around us, so no matter what we're going through, we could be going through a storm or a trial, I'll bet you somebody around the corner is worse off than we are, if we really think about it. Look at number two. The second truth that we need to have in our life is people will see your humble spirit and it will be a testimony to other people around you. You know, the Christian life is not an easy life, but it sure is a life that pleases God. Others will notice our kindness. They'll notice our compassion, our humble spirit. And a lot of them will say, hey, there's something different in that person. Because, you know, as a whole, the world's not like that. The secular world's not like that. They're all out for self. They're all out for the mighty dollar. And other people are going to see our life if we have humility. They're going to see it. It's a mental attitude that depends on God to meet our needs, to live that life with humility, to be meek and lowly in demonstrating attributes that Jesus had. Jesus, is as we said before, he's the greatest example of humility throughout his whole ministry. Throughout his whole ministry up to the death on the cross, he showed humility. And it was he showed humility for each and every one of us, for far as that goes. To be meek and lowly is demonstrating what Jesus had. Do you know that the word meekness, I did a little bit of research here, the word meekness is found in the New Testament 11 times. It talks about it because it's important. It always conveys an expression of gentleness, and you know, gentleness is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, meekness never means to be weak or delicate. Have you ever thought about that? Being meekness and having humility in our life, whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, it really demonstrates a controlled strength in our life, if you think about it. Nothing weak about it, nothing delicate about it, but to show humility toward others is a controlled strength that the Holy Spirit gives us. And we want to be that way because God can use us every day of our life. It's the idea of submission without struggle. Have you ever thought about that? The idea of having humility in our life, it's a submission without struggle. It's not a struggle to be kind to others. It's not a struggle to show humility or meekness in our life. Jesus did it every day of his life. If you remember Jesus during his trial, before the crucifixion, he stood before his accusers without a word of threat, without a word of revenge. He demonstrated the best picture of humility throughout his entire ministry. But during that time, he really showed it. The people that accused him of this and that, not being the Messiah, people turned against him, spit upon him, treated him very horribly. He didn't have anything to say. He showed humility in his life. What about those, some of us might have some, if we call them enemies out there, that maybe we call enemies, but guess what? The Bible says we need to love our enemies. We need to lift them up in prayer. We need to show humility. It could be something that we show on a daily basis. It could change somebody's life. Somebody that's going through a trial or a storm, and they see a Christian living a life of humility and showing humility for other people, it could change their life. We can be an example for other people all around us every single day. You see, he demonstrated this humility throughout his entire ministry. No matter what he was involved in, he showed humility. The greatest example that we'll ever have. There's a verse over in Isaiah chapter number 57. I love the book of Isaiah. It's got so much in it, but Isaiah 57. I want to read verses 14 and 15 to you. Isaiah 57, 14 and 15. Let's just make sure I got the right verses. Here we go. It says, And shall say, cast ye up, prepare way. The way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite spirit and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. There's no way that we can have that true humility in our life without the Holy Spirit. Can't do it. Can't do it on our own. The day that you and I were saved and born again, we were able to have the Holy Spirit dwell in our heart, and He's been there ever since. Anytime we tend to do wrong, anytime we tend to say wrong, the Holy Spirit's going to convict us. If you've been saved and born again, He's going to convict us. So it pays to live a life of humility. And also, there's a verse way over here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 4 through 6. I love these verses. 1 Peter 5, 4 through 6. It says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." You know, we're living in a world today, it's not easy to live a Christian life, to show that humility and kindness and gentleness, especially to people that don't appreciate it, especially the people that live a life of sin and their life is so mixed up. Satan has threw them a curve, and they can come back with different things that, you know, can hurt. If you've ever been out on visitation, things can happen when you go visit people. We should never take it personally. We're just out trying to be an example for our Lord. But showing that humility to others is not always an easy task, and the Holy Spirit's going to have to help us. There's no doubt about it. So we thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at number three. I believe the third truth we need to see is being humble in our everyday life will always bring glory to the Lord. Shouldn't that be one of our desires in the Christian life? Is bringing glory to the Lord? So many people are doing things that are so much against the Lord. I mean, you can turn on the news channel. The things that are happening in our world is just unbelievable. People's hearts have become corrupt. Chaos is in a lot of our different places and a lot of our nations. But you see, being humble on an everyday basis always being glory to our Lord. He showed gentleness and meekness in the face of wrath. Even during His mistreatment that we talked about a while ago, Christ was mistreated I don't know how many times. You know, we're going to be persecuted some here on earth. I mean, you know, I've said this before, we're outnumbered. You know, we look at our churches and Sunday school classes, a lot of them are empty pews. We are outnumbered when it comes to God's people. But that don't mean we have to go the world's way. We don't have to go the world's way. We can live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, but we have to stay in His Word. We have to have the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us every single day. But Christ showed that gentleness and meekness and humility in the face of wrath, in the face of mistreatment. And you know, for us believers to possess this humble and meek and lowly spirit and bringing glory to the Lord, we're going to have the Holy Spirit's help. It says here, in a biblical sense, giving glory to God speaks of His awesomeness, greatness, and indescribable worth. Do we love God enough that we want to show humility in our life? Now, there's some things that happen in life that we can get angry about. If you remember, Christ got angry with the money changers. They were gambling. There's things in life that we need to hate as Christians. We need to hate all sin. God hates sin. We should hate sin. But giving glory to Him and everything we do and accomplish will bring glory to Him. Even through trials and storms that we go through, we should always be in a frame of mind of praying, telling God that we honor Him even though we're going through a difficult trial or storm. We should never forget who God is. And I know there's sometimes, we're human, sometimes we go through tragedies and different things in life, and sometimes we'll ask the question, why? It's we're human. We've all done that. But down deep inside, if we have that peace that we talked about a few weeks ago, if we have a humble spirit and want to show humility in our life, even when we go through a storm or valley, we can do that. We can honor Him. We can bring glory to Him. And during that time, during the bad times, we can stay in prayer. And you know, during the bad times, we're surely going to look to Him. We're going to look to Him to carry us through. See, the Christian life never promised a bed of roses. There might be some preachers out there preaching that, but it never promised a bed of roses. We're going to go through trials and storms and tribulations and burdens. But God did promise us that He'd go with us throughout every single one of them, no matter what we went through. He'd never give us more than we could bear. And we thank God for that. So being humble in everyday life, shouldn't we want to bring glory to our Lord? That should be one of our desires as a Christian. That's what's going to count. Our Christian life and how we treated other people, how we serve the Lord, that's what's going to count when our life is over. This other stuff that people brag about, the material possessions, you know, cars and houses and boats and land, guess what? We're going to leave all that behind. We ain't going to take it with us. Somebody's going to get it, but we're not going to take it with us. So even though those things are important, they're not the most important thing in our life. Living that life of humility, God will honor it. I want to go over to Psalms. These verses in Psalms chapter 63, I want to read the first five verses to you. Of course, this is David, the Psalm of David. It says, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. And verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. I thank God for that psalm. Have you ever said something with your tongue that you wish you never said? We've all been through that. You see, God will forgive us. His forgiveness is real. We've talked about that several times in this class. Forgiveness is just a sweet thing that comes from God. And you know, I've said this many times in this class, but I believe there's people out of church today because they don't think of God to forgive their past. They don't think that God, as Almighty God as He is, will forgive their past, and they stay out of church because, well, one thing, they can't forgive themselves. I believe that's so true. And over in Ephesians, there's over in Ephesians chapter number 4, I want to read these first three verses to you in Ephesians chapter 4. The first three verses, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation where which ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, God demands humility. He wants us to have this humility in our life that we can show others that humility, that meekness, that kindness. And I know there's things that happen in life that kind of ruffle our feathers. We understand that. Sometimes we have to hold our tongue back and to praise the Lord and just pray for other people. We talked about last week that we all go through different trials because of maybe other people's actions. We all familiar with that. But having humility and kindness in our heart will please the Lord. Look at number 4. I believe the fourth truth that we need to learn is striving to be humble will create many attributes in our Christian walk. I want to let you know about some of these on this last point. Striving to be humble will create many attributes. Number one, humility is never boastful. Well, we know that. To be humble and to have a humble spirit, we don't have to be a boastful person in front of other people, and especially in front of God. You see, humble folks never flaunt their status. You see, they are always modest and meek and always happy to see others accomplish what they accomplish. What about the second one? Humility is always grateful for everything they have. Well, that's true. If we have humility in our life, we're going to be thankful for everything that God gives us. To meet the simple things of life, to meet our needs. Have you ever thought about how simple it is when we get up in the morning? We should thank God that we can get out of the bed and be able to move and breathe. You see, He's the one that gives us life to breathe, and He's the one that can take it away anytime. These simple things we ought to be thankful for in our lives. Thankful that we're getting up in the morning, be able to move, to do what we need to do and accomplish. I can see in the back of my mind right now, some people that I know can't even do that. So we ought to be grateful for everything that God gives us. You see, if we look at it, God owns it all anyway. We're just caretakers of things that we own. We're just enjoying what He gives us. And we are going to enjoy it for a short time. You see, the ones of us that are reaching 60s and 70s and 80s, we've lived 3/4 of our life. We know that the things that we have that God's blessed us with, we're not going to take it with us when we go to heaven. Somebody's going to get it, but we can't take it with us. Be thankful for the simple things in life. I hope that we can every single day. Look at the third one. Humility never belittles others. Have you ever run into people that just belittled other people? I looked up the word belittle. The definition says to make someone or something seem unimportant or to poke fun of or ridicule others. I've met people like that. It's not a pretty picture. You see, God, as Christians, God wants us to edify one another, to lift up other people, to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ, even to encourage lost people. You know, when we look at lost people that are lost and they're living the life that they do, guess what? We were in that picture at one time before we got saved. Other people that we know, we could have family, neighbors, people that we love that are lost without Christ. We definitely need to encourage them and lift them up. Don't belittle others. You see, humility is the ability to treat others as equals, never making fun of other people. We need to remember that. Look at the next one. It says, humility is never rude. Have you ever run into a rude person? You see, it's never rude. Humility allows a person to be kind and courteous to others, showing compassion and that humility that we need in our Christian life. You see, if we have these attributes that talks about humility, other people's going to notice a difference in us. And we should be different than the world. Now, we love the world, but we don't love the sin. And we should be a different people. You know, it talked about us in the Bible being peculiar people. Yeah, we sure are. We want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. That's not your main goal in today's world. A lot of people don't look at life that way. Well, a lot of them are lost without Christ. So never be rude. Always have humility in your heart and be kind to others. The next one says humility is never materialistic. You know, we all have to have a place to live, something to drive, clothes to wear. We understand that. But don't make it top priority in your life. Never put things and physical objects or expensive gifts as priority in your life. Family, friends, people in our life are much more precious than anything that we could ever have. People's lives are more important than things, than material possessions. People's lives is really what we need to be looking at. You see, at one time, we were lost and undone. Somebody could have invited us to church. We could have been in a revival. We got saved somehow by the Holy Spirit of God. And there's others around us that they're going to need their life changed. And we might be the only witness that can do it, the only example that we could even show them. Humility always leads to being thankful. Well, we ought to be thankful every day of our life. Not only thankful to be in church, but thankful to be able to get up in the morning, do what we need to do. Thankful for a church that stands for what's right. Thankful for our family and friends. Thankful for our church family. Being honest and upfront is always the best policy. You know, the Bible is always 100% true. That's about the only thing we know that's 100% true. But you see, we as in our individual lives need to be honest and truthful. There's nothing more degrading than people telling lies. And Christ definitely don't want his people doing that. You see, being honest up front will always keep us from trouble. A humble heart should lead to honesty when dealing with other folks and being honest, especially with our Lord. He already knows our heart anyway. Why should we go against him and against his word and lie, being dishonest? I can think back to people that I knew that owned businesses and being dishonest. God hates that. He wants us to be truthful and honest in everything that we do. And look at the last one. Humility is never arrogant. Have you ever met an arrogant person? You see, arrogance is a sign of an inflated ego. We don't want to live a life like that. God can't use us for his glory if we do that. These kind of folks feel they deserve to be treated better than others. I looked up the word arrogance. It says showing an offensive attitude of superiority, someone who is full of self. We don't want to be that way. God can't use us for his glory if we're that way. He wants to use us for his glory, and he wants us to have this humility that we've talked about this morning. And we can have it. The Holy Spirit, he gives it to us. Do we have a desire to be humble? I want to end with these verses over here in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians 2, I want to read verses 3 and 4 and 7 and 8. These are wonderful verses in Philippians 2. Verses 3 and 4, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other people than others. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then skipping down to verse 7 and 8, it says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And verse 8, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do we have humility today? Do we have kindness and compassion for other people? We need to. And if you've been saved and born again, we have the Holy Spirit that can help us. That can help us with that. I had another verse down here, and I think I wrote the wrong verse number, and I'm trying to find it, and I probably won't find it because we're just about out of time. Let's see, it might be right here. Let me check. I think I wrote down the wrong verse, and that's the reason I can't find it. Anyway, we'll have to save that for next time. We're out of time, but I hope the lesson will be a blessing to all of us as far as this humility is concerned. I believe God demands it. He wants us to be humble in our life, no matter who we rub shoulders with. And sometimes that's not easy if we run into people that's just hard and evil. I understand that. But we might be an example to them and help them in their life. Okay, does anybody have anything to add to the lesson this morning?